have this out of the way and don't have to revisit it here in the future, okay? You're not going to hear any political sermons or politicking from us here at this pulpit, okay? And you say, well, I hear people on the radio and they say, the reason we have the problems in the country we have is because the pulpit is quiet, okay? And what they're saying is they want you to start preaching from the pulpit to vote for so-and-so or that kind of thing, all right? Let me tell you what I think that they are leaving out, okay? Our emphasis is the kingdom, all right? The rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of people. You get that right, and you don't have to worry about the politics, all right? Number two, the word, which is the basis of all we are about here, clearly says the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, we have got it in our narcissistic culture, the United States of America, that God has to do good things to us all the time, regardless of what we do, say, or be. All right? That's not true. All right? And so, God will raise up kings and presidents and what have you to bless a nation or to judge a nation. Both may happen. Both have happened. Both will happen. So for that reason, you ask him who you're to vote for and vote for that person. All right? And we'll leave it there. And then we're going to leave. See, this is not about the United States of America only. It is about his world. And he is perfectly able to manage it however he wants to. All right? So that's out of the way. And so, you know, nobody has really been very nasty about it or anything like that. But we're not going to go there. We never have, all right? And that's the reason why. All right. That said, turn over to John chapter 18 this morning. We started last week, if you were with us, at denying Jesus. And what started out to be one teaching turned into three. And we covered the first point last week, and we're going to cover the second point this week, all right? So last week we began, let's read in verse 13 of John chapter 18. They've arrested Jesus in the garden, they've bound him, and they being the Jews and probably a contingent of Roman officials or soldiers came with them. They brought those folks, and then the Jewish leaders and some of those people were there. That's who arrested him. First, they led him to Annas. That's used to be the high priest. He was in, he was out, he was back and forth. He's not the high priest on this night, okay? But he is the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who is the high priest. So first they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. And it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And we would best guess that we have who that other disciple is probably John. He often refers to himself in a third person kind of way throughout whom the Lord loved and those kind of words. So, you know, we're not going to part fellowship over this and don't start a denomination over or anything like that either. I'm going to say it's John, all right? I'm going to say it's John. So Simon followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered in with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. He wasn't allowed to go in, you see. He didn't know the high priest like John did. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, he being Peter, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire. And because this is outside now, okay, outside the building, because it was cold and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus, verse 19, with his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world." Now we'll look at this in detail next week, okay? But just make sure we're reading the whole context. "I have always taught in the synagogues," Jesus said, "and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those you have heard, who have heard from me what I said to them. And they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand in the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing warming himself. See, we have this one scene, it shifts and it comes back now, back out of the fire. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it, and he said, "I am not." And then one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, Malchus, asked, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" And again, Peter denied it, and at that time, at once, the rooster crowed. So last week, we began to look at the hours after Jesus' arrest. He was probably arrested a little after midnight on Friday morning, 1 a.m., give or take, okay? And so he's arrested in the garden, and he is bound, and he is taken to Annas, the former high priest, who they kind of looked at as being the guy in charge, although he didn't have the title at that time. And this time, these hours, actually, 1 o'clock in the morning till 3 or 4 in the morning, something like that, there seems to be a whole host of people that are denying Jesus in this time frame of a few hours there. Last week, we saw that some deny Jesus, that was point one. Some deny Jesus because of who they are. And the first group we looked at were the Jews. They had a good thing going. They're the movers and shakers. They have status. They have power. And because of it, they can kind of, have some cash flowing their way, with sacrifice. They eat well. Because when they sacrificed an animal in the temple, they had a lot of good meat left. And these religious leaders would get it usually. So they got some good cuts of meat out of the deal. And they had all kinds of other things. The people thought that they had all of the answers. They're a powerful group. So if they don't deny Jesus, then they can keep that status and that power. If they accept Jesus instead of denying him, they're going to lose the status. But to maintain the status, they have to deny Jesus. So they are that group we looked at last week. Some people deny Jesus because of who they are. And that's just not for this time among these people. Today, put it down to Bolivar, Missouri if you want to. Some people, in order to preserve their place in the community, to get invited to the right social events, whatever it is, they've got to kind of watch what they say in certain crowds about being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus. If that shoe fits, you wear it, okay? So that's what we looked at last week. Some people deny Jesus because of who they are. This morning we're going to look at number two, point two, if you will. Some deny Jesus because where they have been. Some people deny Jesus because of where they have been. So, That comes down to the Apostle Peter. Peter and John followed Jesus to the court of the high priest is actually where they're going, the temple, all right, and specifically the court of the high priest. And so this morning, I want us to look at Peter was in position to deny Jesus. You love this one. Point two would be Peter paused when pressed by a passerby. That was hard to come up with, okay? And third this morning, Peter was persistent in denying Jesus. Let's look first of all that Peter was in a position to deny Jesus. If there is a rock star in the New Testament among the disciples, the apostles, it has to be Peter. I mean, that's his name, rock, okay? And listen to what Peter was about as he followed Jesus. He had been with Jesus now for 3 years. He was drawn to Jesus. Probably he was a disciple of John the Baptist first and then left following John to follow Jesus when Jesus personally called him to follow, come follow me. And Peter followed him and was with him for 3 years. Remember, Peter walked on the water. You ever done that one? Do you know anybody else besides Jesus and Peter that did? He walked to Jesus on the water out there in the boat, and they looked out and they saw Jesus. They first thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said one word, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. That's the guy we're talking about here. So he walked on the water going to Jesus. He stood with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. They went to the Mount of Transfiguration, it's called. And on that mountain, Peter was there. Jesus was transfigured before them. I'm not sure what that is, but it was impressive. And not only were Peter, James, and John and Jesus there, but God spoke from heaven in Peter's presence, and Elijah and Moses were there. That's impressive. Peter was there. He's one of the guys that Jesus invited to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. He was part of the inner circles, James and John being the others. He's invited to go deeper into the garden just before Jesus is going to be arrested. And Jesus went there to pray. He left the eight of them over here. He took Peter, James, and John with him into the farther into the garden and said, "Hey guys, watch with me and pray." Peter's in that group. He's part of the inner circle. Jesus changed his name to Rock. That wasn't his name. But Jesus changed it, and he said, "You're going to be called Rocky from here on out. You're Rock. That's your name." The only person in Scripture with the name of Peter is Peter. You know, we have a lot of Jameses, a lot of Johns, okay? But only one Peter. Nobody else has that name of all of Scripture. You getting the idea? This is a special kind of person. So Jesus gave him a new name. It is Peter who boldly proclaimed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And and that was in response when Jesus said, "You're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He said that to Peter. It's on Peter's profession of faith that he's going to establish the church. On Peter, okay? Not Peter as the Pope Peter. Forget all that stuff. It's on his profession of faith that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was taken into the house with Jesus when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. He took Peter with him in there. Peter stood there and watched this dead girl come to life. This guy that is kind of the prince of the apostles, if you want to call him that, or something like that, he is there with Jesus. There are a lot of people, I think it's back in John 6, that a lot of disciples, not the 12, but a lot of disciples were going away and leaving Jesus, And Jesus said to them, will you too also go away to the 12? And it's Peter who speaks up and said, to whom would we go, Lord? You have the words of life. This guy's batting a high percentage here. I mean, he's got some good things going. He's hitting all the marks. It's Peter who drew his sword out there in the garden. Cut off Malchus's ear. He wasn't mad at Malchus. He was defending Jesus. You're not going to arrest my Lord. Of course, Jesus rebuked him for that, but you got to give him points for the fact that he stepped up. I don't know what the other guys were doing, but Peter stepped up to defend Jesus. And now it's Peter who follows Jesus to the temple where he is bound, taken to the court of the high priest. That's the guy we're talking about. Peter. Rock. I think it's safe to say that Peter's serious about his commitment to follow Jesus. He's been with Jesus. He knows Jesus. He knows his power. He has stepped up numerous times to defend Jesus, to speak on his behalf. The guy's committed. He's all in. And so on this night when Jesus was arrested, only Peter and John follow him to the temple. Dangerous place. I mean, they came out with weapons and that contingent of Roman soldiers. And they bind Jesus and they take him across the Kidron Brook there back to the temple, to the court of the high priest. No one else is there except Peter and John. The other disciples, the other nine, I don't know where they are. But Peter was there. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus to this dangerous place. He didn't run from the place, but he followed Jesus there. You see, he had said earlier, and you'll remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a man of his word. He followed him to the temple. I mean, these are guys that could have grabbed him and bound him and cut his head off or something. Who knows what's going to happen? But Peter had said, I will never leave you, forsake you. He was faithful to that pledge of loyalty for a while. Did you notice that Peter walks up to the door of the court of the high priest where Jesus is inside, where one of his first trial is taking place? Before Annas and then Caiaphas, the high priest, he's there at the doorway. John went on in because it says that John knew the high priest. And so Peter's on the outside standing out there because he's not invited in. John goes in, talks to the high priest, comes back out to get Peter so that Peter can go in. I don't know where the other disciples are. Running, hiding. They're somewhere. But they're not here. Peter's right there at the doorway. Ready to go in where Jesus is. And so at this point, you have to conclude that Peter was committed to following Jesus. In fact, I don't think you could be a more devout follower than what we have gone through Peter's life. The guy is serious about walking with Jesus, following Jesus. The scripture says Simon Peter followed Jesus to the very court of the high priest. A dangerous place to be. And so at this point, we don't have any problems, do we? Way to go, Peter. Good job. Man, you're such a model for us. We too can be brave because, Peter, you were brave. So what happened? The second thing I want us to look at today is that deal that took me so much time to come up with. Peter paused when pressed by a passerby. Peter standing outside the door. John has gone in, gained permission for him to go out and get Peter. He paved the way because he knew the high priest. And it would seem in mid-stride as Peter steps in the doorway. All of this impressive following and life that he has lived crashes in the doorway. I don't think he went in. Because at the doorway, in mid-stride, Peter is confronted by his association or about his association with Jesus. Now, he's not confronted by some burly, vicious, mighty Roman soldier who'd say, "Where are you going?" No. He's not confronted by some high Jewish official. No. He's confronted by a little servant girl whose only job was to kind of check who's going in and out. That's who confronts him. This guy that walked on water. This guy that drew a sword with all these Roman soldiers coming to arrest Jesus. He's ready to fight. A little servant girl. Not a soldier, not a Jewish official, not somebody with power, not somebody with a sword. But something happens to Peter when he's pressed about his relationship to Jesus by this young girl. And she simply said to him, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? You're not his disciple, are you?" That's the question. And so it seems like time stands still there in the doorway for Peter. He's going in. I think in his mind, this is just my thinking, I think he thinks he's going to go in there in somewhat in anonymity. Nobody's going to know. You know, he can kind of blend in with the crowd. I don't know. But as he's headed in, that little girl standing at the doorway, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" You see, it's one thing to follow Jesus in secret. You know, when it was just Jesus and the 12, Peter was really bold. And much of what we talked about went on, there wasn't a crowd of people around. You know, Jesus was the center stage in everything. The disciples are just there. And so he is followed in some obscurity. No one really knows his devotion to Jesus except the 12. It was dark in the garden when Jesus was arrested. They had lanterns and torches, silhouettes maybe. And even though he was quite aggressive, he still didn't stand out. They're after Jesus. So he's bold in the context of the 12. But now when he's confronted, as he's going into the court of the high priest, his security is challenged by this little servant girl. He's bold enough to go in, but to go in anonymously, fitting in with the crowd. And this little servant girl, who could really do nothing to him other than ask him a question, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And Peter was one word away from getting it right. What did he say? "I am not." One word. He's close. He said the first two words that were the right words. "I am." You bet I am. Are you a follower of Jesus? I am. But he added that third word. I am not. I am not. I am not a follower of Jesus. I'm not one of his disciples. Why? Confronted by a little servant girl who had no earthly power in and of herself except to make sure who went in and out the door. I am not. I am not a disciple, a follower of Jesus, when we had just gone through Peter's life and it was 3 years filled with doing nothing but following Jesus. To some high and lofty places and great experiences, and on it goes. But now, when confronted, he denies Jesus. How do you go from thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, to I am not his follower? I think Peter was comfortable in community. Today we would say a person's comfortable when they go to church. Okay? They go to church, okay, and you know, they can be kind of bold, you know, and they can sing, and maybe if they're called on to pray, they'll pray, you know, and that kind of thing. And at church, you know, where that's other people of like faith and all, they're pretty bold. But walk out the door, go to the restaurant, you can name it, okay? And there's somebody there checking people in, okay, waiting for a table. And they say, have you been to church today? Are you coming from church or something like that? You know, just something obscure maybe. Same deal. Is there any context that you would not answer I am to when asked if you're a follower of Jesus? Any context? Family, Thanksgiving, gathering with the family, friends at the whatever, any place. This was the place where Peter denied Jesus. Because you see, he's no longer in the security of community. Family gathering, little or big, you choose. Are you asked to pray? Do you even pray at that gathering? Maybe you've got a bunch of heathen brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and brothers and sisters. I don't know who's there, okay? And do you step up and say, could we pray before we eat? Why would you want to do that? I heard one guy say one time. Why? Would you do that? Would you be bold enough to do that at that time? Just asking. You see, Peter was comfortable being a disciple when it was convenient to be a disciple. When it was in community, but outside of that circle of community of Jesus and the 12, he denied being a disciple of Jesus. What happened? Third, this morning, Peter was persistent in denying Jesus. Maybe something like this, I don't think it did, but you know. No harm, no foul, right? I didn't understand what she said. I thought she asked me something else. Or, you know, that's my strategy for getting in. Because if she knew that I was a disciple, then she probably wouldn't let me in. So that was my strategy to get in there with Jesus. You misunderstood. I didn't say I am not. We could go on with all kinds of excuses from now till late this afternoon, probably. Excuses for not admitting that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That didn't happen, of course, because we know that Peter was persistent in his denial. Did Peter go in? I don't think he did. And the reason I don't think he did is because we see him out with the other guys by the fire. After that confrontation, he didn't run away totally. You see, in that desert climate, it gets cold at night. There's nothing to hold the heat of the day in. So it gets cold. Hot in the day, cold at night. And so they had these fires burning out there, and people would warm themselves in the cold of the night and early morning. And that's where we find Peter next. So he didn't run away totally. He warmed himself by the fire with all of the other people who had denied Jesus. That's who's by the fire. Those who denied Jesus. And so Peter's pretty comfortable out there, again, being anonymous, just in the shadows, in with the group, not saying anything, you know, just not rocking a boat. He has a second chance. Second chance. They would be that group of people warming themselves, people who had denied Jesus, who were denying Jesus. I don't know their ilk, but they're there for a reason. Probably other people, like the Jews who had denied Jesus. They asked the same question the girl had asked. You also are not one of his disciples, are you? Same question, same answer. I am not. Now we are not dealing with a misunderstanding. Now we are not dealing with a misspeak. No. Peter is nailing it down. Once could be a misunderstanding. Twice, same question, same answer. That's a man's heart. And Peter said, I am not. But there's a third chance. A third chance. One of Malchus's relatives, the guy he cut his ear off, that he cut his ear off and Jesus healed, Peter cut his ear off, remember? One of Malchus's relatives who had been in the garden. And even in that dim light of the garden, he thought he remembered Peter being there. And so he asked him, and the third time Peter says, no. He denied following Jesus for the third time. Three times he denies knowing Jesus. Three times an opportunity to share his devotion with the Master. Three times he denies that he followed him closely. There's no debate here, folks. Peter denied being a follower. And then the rooster crowed. The rooster. Of all the things that could be in Scripture, why a rooster? I don't know if you've ever been to a third world country or not, but I've had the privilege to do so on a number of occasions. Two sounds in the night in a third world country. Dogs barking, and at a certain time, roosters crowing. that's just the sounds of night. You don't have cars and all that kind of thing usually going by, but you have those two sounds. But this rooster is not just any rooster. This is the rooster that will put Peter in tears, sobbing greatly, we're told in the other gospel accounts. Because Jesus had already said to him in John 13:38 that, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And so when that rooster crowed, Peter's a broken man. He had denied his Lord. Jesus knew Peter. He knew about these three times. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. Yet he also knew it would be Peter who would preach in about 40-some days. 3,000 souls would be saved on that one day. And daily those that were being saved would be added to the church. He knew that Peter was coming. He knew that this Peter who denied him after and the rooster crowed and humbled him would be the Peter that would march into this same place with the high officials of the Jewish religion and be beaten for his faith and told, "Don't ever preach in the name of Jesus." And they walked away rejoicing that they had been worthy to suffer for the Lord's name. He knew it was this Peter who would be used to set the world aflame with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no getting around the fact that Peter denied Jesus. He did. There's no getting around that he was used greatly by the Lord even after he denied Jesus. And those of you who know me probably could guess at my next question that came into my mind at this point. Okay, so what's the difference between Judas and Peter? Anybody think about that just now? Anybody? Oh, just me. Okay. What's the difference between Judas and Peter? Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Same game, right? Peter went out and sobbed greatly. Judas went out and hung himself. Judas went back to the temple with the 30 pieces of silver. And he said, "I have shed innocent blood," and threw the silver down, about $600. And then went out and hung himself. Peter denied Jesus, went out and wept bitterly, and then turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Big difference. Peter was repentant. Judas was remorseful. Same letter starts both words. And the difference between heaven and hell come after that first letter. Judas was remorseful. He was sorry. Do you know that there is coming a day, the old Negro spiritual cause of that great getting up morning? There's a day coming out there when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But they're not going in. Not every person that confesses that is going into his heaven. They're remorseful. Jesus told over there, you know, "You're going to say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name?'" And Jesus' response, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What is the difference? Everybody is going to be remorseful at some day in that soon future. There's going to be a line of people, billions of people. And it says, "And the books were opened. And the things written are recorded in the books." But there's another book. and the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And if a person's name is not in the Lamb's book of life, Jesus is going to say, depart from me. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But every one of them is going to bow their knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord before they are ejected into eternity, separated from God. Folks, there's a vast difference from being remorseful and being repentant. Most people are remorseful when they get caught. Right? Watch your little ones. I'm sorry, Daddy, I didn't mean to do it. You know, that kind of deal. Turn around, they're doing it again. That's remorseful. When a person is truly repentant, they turn from. You see, every one of you and myself who have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is our Lord and Savior, we're walking in this direction, and at that point of repentance, we turned and we walked this way. That's repentance. Remorseful is walking this way and being confronted with sin and say, okay, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and keep on walking. Only at repentance is the direction of a person's life changed. And I might add, changed for all eternity. Judas was remorseful. I shed innocent blood. And he went out and hung himself. The day he stokes the fires of hell. Because he never repented and believed. You see, on this night, Peter did not deny himself. He denied Jesus. Had Peter denied himself on this night and not denied Jesus, he might have been hanging on the cross beside Jesus on that night. Tradition tells us he is going to hang on the cross in his future, upside down. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us, tradition would have it. It's not in Scripture. The reason that he was crucified upside down for the cause of Jesus Christ is because he denied himself the rest of the days of his life and never again denied Jesus. Every one of us confront the little girl at the door, don't we? I don't know where it is for you. Probably not going into the court of the high priest. Maybe it's going into the country club. Maybe the restaurant. Maybe the gathering at the house. Maybe Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know where it is. Is there any place where you deny Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, I think it'd be safe to say that none of us in this room experienced those great things that Peter experienced. I've never walked on water. I've never stood beside a bed and watched a person who was dead come to life. And on, what Peter experienced, Father, I'll have to be very transparent this morning. I do share one of Peter's experiences, and that's that there have been times in my life when I've denied being your follower. Father, you know the conversations that you and I had at that time. Time stood still as the Holy Spirit came close. Why did you deny me before that person or that group, or whatever it may be? Sometimes it'll be a conviction. Well, you had a good chat with him, and why didn't you inquire about his salvation like I asked you to? And I knew that I'd been asked to do so, Lord. Father, I, like Peter, do share the experience of my heart being broken when I deny you. So, Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters in the room who may also have had experiences like Peter's. When confronted by whomever, I am not. I am not. I can't think of three more haunting words. I am not. Lord, I pray we'll all go from this place today resolved never to use those words again. I pray we'd go from this place with a hatchet to cut that last word off and boldly proclaim, I am. I am a follower. Lord, I think we need to probably be practicing that because there may well be a day in our futures when we are confronted, as many in the world are now, as terrorists gather those people into those auditoriums or meeting rooms or whatever, and they say, all right, all of you who are of such a faith can leave. Is there anyone here that's a Christian, a follower of Jesus? And Father, they are giving their life for that raised hand and that confession, I am. Father, I think we need to be practicing it. Those days are before us. But even if we should live our lives and they not be, Lord, there's those days every day when you put us into situations and we either proclaim or deny at that time. So I pray for courage, for boldness for us gathered in this room today, that we would not be ashamed of the testimony and gospel of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. You come this morning if we can help, whatever that might be. Need for prayer, need for whatever, okay? You come this morning. Good to see you, and God is honored by you coming to worship Him in His house today. And we'll be here for you this morning. You come. We're dismissed.